this evening to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, verse number 1. Well, thank you for coming tonight. Thank you for being a part of our service. We welcome our visitors here. And make sure you get a chance to shake their hands and thank them for coming before they leave. All right. Revelation chapter 19, verse number 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And as I heard it, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Let's pray. Dear Lord, bless, Lord, the lesson tonight, the message tonight. Help us to learn. Open our hearts. Open our ears, God, that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. God, convict us where we need to change, Lord, where we need to draw closer to you in our lives. Lord, help our lives to be a sweet-smelling savor, Lord, in your nostrils, that we may please you, God, in everything that we do and everything that we say. Thank you so much for sending your Son to die on the cross. Lord, that we could have life. That we could have eternal life, everlasting life. Lord, I thank you, God, for your truth, the Word of God. Help us to heed it. Help us not just to hear it, but help us to live it. Help us to do it. In your name I pray. Amen. The Bible says here in Revelation chapter 19, verse 7, that the Lamb's wife made herself ready. The Lamb's bride here was prepared and ready to become the Lamb's wife. The Lamb, of course, is Christ. He's the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And, of course, the bride, that's the Lamb's wife. The bride of Christ is, of course, the church. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The Bible says here, the Lamb's wife made herself ready. For us men here tonight that are married, we know, we remember well the day that we got married and all the preparation that went into that day. I myself threw on a tuxedo and I was ready to go, but I remember my wife, she was quite some time preparing herself, making herself ready for the wedding, making herself ready for her husband, and I appreciated that, and it was worth it, I'm telling you. But we understand that. We understand what the Bible's talking about here, how the Bible says the Lamb's wife made herself ready. And I want to talk to you tonight, just for a few moments, about being ready. Being ready. I like being prepared. I like being ready. There's just something about being ready that appeals to me. Now, there's a certain confidence that comes with readiness and preparation for whatever it is that lies ahead, whatever the job or whatever the task. There's confidence that comes with being ready. I remember a few times in high school, showing up for class, and I'd be unprepared for a test or a quiz, or I had forgotten that there was a test or a quiz that day. And I'd show up and I'd sit down in my seat expecting, you know, to have a wonderful day of class and to find out only that there was a test that I was not prepared for that I was about to take. There was a quiz or something like that. And I knew that I was going to fail. I knew that I was going to do poorly on this test or this quiz because I was simply not prepared for whatever reason. But the times when I had prepared, the times when I was ready to take that test or that quiz and whatever the class, it made a difference. The outcome was much better. And I had more confidence going into that class knowing that I was ready, that I was prepared to the best of my ability to be able to give the right answer, to be able to put down the right answers and pass that test. Growing up, I played a lot of sports, and I still love sports to this day. I love to play sports. I think it's a lot of fun, and I think it's good exercise. You know, the Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness with contentment is great gain. And I know a lot of preacher friends of mine that will quote that verse, and they're against sports and against all that stuff, and they think it's all wicked and all that. But, you know, and I believe we have to keep our priorities straight. I believe you shouldn't stay home on Sunday morning and watch football when you should be in church. I believe you ought to be in the house of God on Sunday morning. I believe keeping our priorities straight, keeping Christ first. And our first priority as Christians ought to be our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's our first priority. We need to keep in shape spiritually before we ever stay in shape physically. But notice that the Bible doesn't say bodily exercise doesn't profit at all. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says bodily exercise profits little. It may only profit a little, but at least it does profit. Exercise is profitable, the Bible says. And I know a lot of preacher friends of mine that, you know, they're down on sports and all that, but I like sports. And over the years, I've played a lot of sports. I really enjoy sports. I've played a lot of hockey. That's pretty much all we did up here when I was a kid was play hockey. We had our backyard rink, and we'd freeze that thing over around this time every year, and we just have ourselves a time. And over the years, I've played on some good teams. I've played on some good hockey teams, and I've played on some pretty bad hockey teams. But hockey is not just a physical game. Not only do you have to be in shape physically to play hockey, but hockey's a mental game. You gotta keep your mind right. You can't just go out there with your head down and skate around. You're gonna get nailed. My brother, he was playing hockey this past week, and he's my older brother. His name's Derek, and he thinks he's Mario Lemieux or something like that. But he hadn't played for a while. He's been so busy with work and with school. And he got on the team, and he hopped out there on the ice and started skating around. And he was telling my mom that he saw this big old bruiser coming at him. And he said, "Mom, I didn't think that he was going to hit me. I didn't think he was going to check me." He said, "I didn't know there was checking in this league that I signed up for." And he said, I just stood there. I didn't expect him to go through. I didn't expect him to hit me and knock me down. But this big old bruiser, he lined up my brother, and he gave him a hip check, put my brother down on the ice. And I guess as my brother was falling down to the ice, the guy fell with him, and my brother landed on the skate blade of this guy and hurt himself pretty bad. So he's laid up for a while. But, you know, he said, "Mom, I wasn't ready. I was not prepared for that. I got on the ice thinking everything would be all right, and I could just hop on the ice and skate around and score how many goals." But he said, "I realized that I was not ready to play the game of hockey. It had been a while." And, you know, I remember my first hockey tryouts. I mean, I'd played hockey before. I mean, with my brothers in the backyard growing up, my dad played goalie for us here. But I remember my junior year of high school, after I finished that, I went down to Fairbanks, and my desire was to try out for the hockey team in Fairbanks, and all the kids there were there at the tryouts. All the good hockey players were there, and I was there, and I remember showing up for the first day of tryouts, and we skated for the whole 2.5 hours. That's all we did was skate, skate, skate. The coaches wanted to see how good we skated, and I tell you what, I was not ready. I was completely out of shape. I had stayed up late that night, didn't get any rest. I was slow and I was sluggish. I was just unprepared physically and I was unprepared mentally to be at those hockey trials. And I believe because I was unprepared, I believe that because I was not ready for tryouts, I didn't get a place on that team. I didn't make the roster. And what I believe as Christians, we ought to be ready. We ought to be prepared. And God's Word tells us over and over again to be ready. Be ready. The Bible tells us to be ready to hear. First, look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1. That's in the Old Testament. The Bible has a lot to say about being ready. Right after the book of Proverbs, you'll find the book of Ecclesiastes. And look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse number 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse number 1. Keep thy foot, for when thou goest to the house of God, and keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. The Bible says we ought to be ready to hear. When we come to the house of God, the Bible says we should be listening. We should have our ears open. Our heart should be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You know, how many times have we missed out hearing the voice of God? How many times have we sat in church because we were not prepared for the message? We had not prepared our hearts to receive the Word of God. We've missed out. We've missed out on what God has had for us. Sometimes we show up to church and we're so preoccupied with all the cares of this world and all these other thoughts and other concerns and other worries that most of the time we can't even comprehend what's being said. I know I've been there. And I remember growing up in church as a kid. I mean, I was in church every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, every time the church doors were open, I was there. And I've sat under preaching all my life. But I remember sitting in some services and my mind would be so far away from the church service that after the service was over, I couldn't remember a thing that was said. Didn't matter who was preaching. I couldn't remember anything because I wasn't prepared for what God had for me. I wasn't prepared to hear the Word of God preached. We need to pray. We need to be ready when we come to the house of God to hear the Word of the God and the Word of the Lord as it's preached. I think we should pray. I think we should pray before we come to the house of God. I think we should ask God to prepare our hearts to hear and to hearken to His Word, to His message. We ought to be prepared to hear. We ought to be ready to hear. The Bible says also we should be ready to give. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. Lest haply if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we that we say not ye should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. For this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. The Bible says we should be ready to give. Not only should we be ready to hear, but we should be ready to give when we come to the house of God. We need to be ready to sacrifice. There's something about being prepared to give, being prepared to sacrifice for the Lord. And that's something God has been convicting me about lately. This thing about being ready to give. I think it's important. Now on Sunday, mornings a lot of times, I find myself so focused on preaching. I find myself so focused on my message that a lot of times I lose track of everything else. I mean, my wife, my kids, I just lose track of everything. I'm so focused on preaching. And I usually write a check out every Sunday morning. I write a check out. I try to have a check ready to go in the offering. And I try to make that a habit. But sometimes I forget. Sometimes I'll be so busy Sunday morning that I forget to write my check out. And when Scott says, okay, let's take an offering, I'm thinking, oh, no, I forgot to write my check out. I forgot to write out. And I miss out on being able to give. And I don't like that. I like being a part of giving. That's part of worship. And I think we ought to be prepared to do that. That's something God's convicted me about, making sure I have my check written out. I have something to give in the offering every Sunday morning. I don't like forgetting that. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm talking about being ready to give. 1 Timothy. Chapter 6, verse 17. The Bible says there, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, but trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Now, Paul's writing about rich people in the church, being ready to give. And I don't care whether you're rich or poor. I think all of us ought to be ready when we come to the house of God to sacrifice, to give. That's important to God. The Bible says not only should we be ready to hear and ready to give, but we should be ready to answer. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse number 15. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15. The Bible says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. You know, I used to, that verse used to scare me. And I believe we ought to be studying the Word of God. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. But you know what? There's things in this Bible I don't understand. I don't have the answers, but I do have the answer. The answer is Christ. As Christians, we may not have all the answers that people ask us questions about. And you may not have all the answers, but you can point them to the answer. The answer is Christ. I believe that's what the Bible's talking about here. You know, people think of some crazy questions to ask Christians. I think just to upset Christians, just to discourage Christians, sometimes people will ask some strange questions like, you know, where did Cain get his wife? You know, or why did God create the devil? Or something like that. Something stupid like that. Just to fluster Christians. You know what? Just point them to Christ. Just say, I may not have the answers to all your questions, but I know that Christ is the answer. Christ is the answer. Look at Romans chapter 1. I'm talking about being ready to answer. Romans chapter 1. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't learn all that we can about the Bible and about God. We should be reading our Bibles. We should be studying the Word of God. But remember that Christ is the answer. Romans chapter 1 verse 15 says this. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul was ready to preach the gospel. He was ready to talk about Jesus anywhere and everywhere he went, to anyone he met. I mean, that was Paul's life. That's what drove Paul. I mean, that's what he looked forward to, was just preaching the gospel. He said, I'm ready to preach the gospel. We should be ready to give an answer to any man of the hope that lieth within us. Our hope is Christ. We may not have all the answers, but we do have the answer. We can point people to the answer, Jesus Christ. All right. Not only should we be ready to answer, but we should be ready to work. Look at Titus chapter 3. In Titus chapter 3, verse 1. Titus 3:1 says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. The Bible says we ought to be ready to every good work. We should show forth good works as Christians. I mean, that's not because we're trying to earn salvation. The Bible says salvation is by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. We don't do good works to be saved. We do good works because we have been saved, because Christ is real to us. And that's what Christians are all about. And that's what Paul, the apostle, was all about. He was a man of charity, Christian love. And he loved people, and he cared about people. And he did his best to help people, try and win them to God. And look at Jesus Christ. I mean, he's the greatest example to us all. We should be following in his steps. And what did Christ do for 3.5 years on this earth? He worked miracles. And we can't work no miracles, but we can do some good works. We can help people. We can be a blessing to people. We can encourage people. And I'm glad that many of you in this church, most of you in this church, if not all of you in this church, are dedicated to doing good works. Not because you're trying to earn your salvation, but because you are saved and because Christ means something to you and you want to please Him. That's important. We ought to be ready to do every good work in every opportunity that we have to do good. We should take that opportunity. All right. Ready to every good work. We also should be ready to suffer. Well, watch out. Ready to suffer. Look at Acts chapter 21. It's all good until now. None of us wants to suffer. I know I don't want to suffer. The Bible says there in Acts chapter 21, and Paul, he was something else. Paul, talk about a man of God. This guy was on fire for God. He was different. I mean, he was just a different person. Look at Acts chapter 21, verse 15. If I'm there. Yeah, I'm there. Verse 13, I'm sorry, not verse 15. Verse 13, I can't read my own writing. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Those are some great words of faith there. Paul was ready to be bound, ready to be put in prison for the name of Christ. And not only that, but he says, I'm ready to die for Christ. Paul said, to be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul knew that when he died, he was going to see Christ. He was going to be with God. And he was looking forward to that. You talk about a crazy man. He was looking forward to dying so he could be in the presence of God, the presence of Christ. One day they stoned Paul for preaching the gospel. I forget where it was. I think it was Lyconia or someplace like that, or Lystra. And they stoned him for preaching the gospel. Paul got right back up. Now, they thought he was dead. They left him for dead, but he wasn't. He got up and he went back and he did the same thing. He preached. And, I mean, the guy was different, I'm telling you. He had no fear of death. He knew that when he died, he was going to be with Christ. He knew that he had a home in heaven prepared for him, and that he was going to spend eternity with Christ. He was sure of that. And know what? We need to be sure of that too. And if there's someone here tonight that's not sure where they're going when they die, you need to get that settled. That's important. You need to be ready to die. Paul was ready to die for Christ. He was ready to suffer for Christ. He was ready to be bound, ready to go to prison, and even ready to die. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, just before Paul was beheaded, Paul said, "I am ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Paul was ready to suffer. And I hope we don't have to endure much suffering. I don't like to suffer. I'll be honest with you. But there's something about suffering for Christ. There's something about suffering for Christ. And these Christians, these martyrs back in the early days of the church that suffered for the cause of Christ, that were put to death, that were devoured by lions and burnt at the stake. I mean, these Christians suffered. I mean, these were men and women of God who didn't think twice about suffering for Jesus and would not deny Christ, even if it meant going to the stake, even if it meant being tortured and put in prison and starved and beat and whipped. They were willing to suffer for Christ because their love for Christ was so great. Are we ready to suffer persecution for Christ? We live in a free country, and it's as good as it gets here in America, I'm telling you. We are blessed. We are so blessed. There's Christians in other parts of this world that are being persecuted for being Christians, for the name of Christ. We are blessed. And we don't have to worry about much persecution here in this country. But that may change one day. That may change. Are we going to be willing to suffer persecution for the cause of Christ, for the name of Christ? I hope so. And lastly, the Bible tells us to be ready for Christ's return. Ready for Christ's return. Let's look at Matthew chapter 24, and then we'll be done. Matthew chapter 24. Are you ready for Christ's return? He's coming soon. Look at Matthew chapter number 24. Matthew chapter 24. Look at verse 36. Matthew 24, 36. "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that they were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Christ is coming soon. Are you ready? Are you ready for Christ to come? He will come. The trumpet's going to sound. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour. But Jesus said, "I will come again." He's on his way. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to meet Christ? Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells us a parable. And I don't believe the parables that Christ talked about and told while he was here on this earth were made up stories. I don't believe that at all. We're talking about the God of the universe. We're talking about God in flesh, a God who sees everything, that knows everything. I believe these were real illustrations that happened to real people. I believe that. The Bible says there in Matthew chapter 25, verse 1, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish, and 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. We need to be ready. We need to be ready. Don't be caught with your lamps untrimmed. Don't be caught without oil in your lamps. Oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you, you need to trust Christ as your Savior. You need to be saved. You need to be ready because Christ is coming soon. And if you're not ready, if you're unprepared, you're going to be left behind. You're going to be left behind. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, for your word, your truth. Lord, a simple message, Lord, and but a true message. And Lord, these are your words, not mine. And Lord, I pray, God, that as Christians, Lord, we would be ready. We would be ready, God. Ready to hear. Ready to give. Ready to sacrifice. Ready to answer. Ready to preach the gospel. Ready to witness. Ready to suffer persecution if need be for your sake. Lord, help us all to be ready for your return, because you are coming soon. And those who are unprepared, those who are not ready, are going to be left behind. And the Bible says the door was shut. The door of salvation is open today, tonight, to anyone who will enter, to anyone who will come to Christ. The door is open. One day, the door will be shut. And I pray, God, that if there's anybody here tonight that's not saved, that's not a Christian, God, that you'd convict them, Lord, that you'd help them to walk through the door. And Lord, I pray, be saved. And Lord, help us as Christians, Lord, to be a testimony, to be a witness to all those we come in contact with, Lord. Lord, we may be a testimony, and Lord, try and win them to God. And I pray, Lord, for those, God, who you are dealing with even now, God, not just in this building, but elsewhere, God. I pray that your Holy Spirit would convict those certain people of their need for salvation and for their need of Christ. Make yourself real to them, God. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.